And our new script, I'm sorry, New Testament scripture reading is Luke 3, 7 through 18. John said to the crowds, John the baptizer here, John said to the crowds coming out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you that out of these stones God can raise up children from Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire." "What should we do then?" the crowd asked. John answered, "Anyone who has two shirts should share with the one who has none, and anyone who has food should do the same." Even tax collectors came to be baptized. "Teacher," they asked, "what should we do?" "Don't collect any more than you are required to," he told them. Then some soldiers asked him, "And what should we do?" He replied, do not extort money and do not accuse falsely. Be content with your pay." The people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Messiah. John answered them all, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I will come, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." And with many other words, John exhorted the people and proclaimed the good news to them. So this week in Advent is known as Gaudete Sunday, I believe is how you say it. It's the Sunday of joy. We have lit the pink candle in representation of this. We've come together to worship God in joyful moods. And we're getting really close to Christmas, getting close to the birth of our Savior. It's the big day of the year, or one of them. So there's definitely some pretty strong reasons to be joyful this morning. Pretty big reasons. So then to our text, both of our texts today, they make reference to some huge event coming that God is planning, and it's coming soon. He's implementing it very soon. The Hebrew text today, it promises that the people's fortunes and future have been changed from judgment to hope, destruction to restoration, oppression to liberation, and dread to praise. In our gospel text, we see John the Baptist opening the curtain before the upcoming human drama, the life of Jesus. We see him introducing the coming of the one who will bring a whole new chapter of salvation to everybody, not just the Hebrews, but to everybody. And the people around, they're excited for this. They're nervous for this, but they're excited. They can feel in the air. They know something's coming. So that's why they come to John the Baptist. What do we do? What do we do? What do we do to prepare? So there's definitely joy in the air. So I have a little story to sort of bring the Old Testament into picture. Have any of you ever been to camp? I know we have some Boy Scouts in here. I know a lot of us have been to camp. Camp was amazing growing up. I loved camp. It was fun, a brand new adventure. It was really like the first time away from home with your friends. Your parents aren't around, or their parents. It's great. Well, the story I'm about to tell you, excuse me, it's not from my camp days, but it's the writing of a camp director I read. He was a camp director at a Christian camp. I don't know where or when or how it all happened, but he was camp director. And like all camps, they had rules and procedures they're supposed to follow for the camp volunteers and the children. You know, the typical rules: don't be out after dark, don't horseplay, always be inside of the adults, nothing new. Same basic rules. Well, there was this couple of youth, and they were so excited. They were so excited for camp. They loved it. They participated in all the activities. They were great campers. The volunteers loved them. It was awesome. But they got a little too excited. They started participating in some unregulated events, you could say. Some events they sort of made up. Some events that broke the rules. So naturally, they got called, met with the camp director. And the camp director was like, "Well, this is pretty bad. I don't know what they did, but it's pretty bad. We're going to have to send you home. We're going to have to call your parents." Well, these youth, they begged. And they pled. They said, "Don't send us home. Please forgive us. Give us a second chance. Don't tell our parents, most importantly." remember saying that growing up. Don't tell mom. Don't tell mom. So rather than sending them home, the counselors got together, the camp director, and they're like, let's think of something different. Let's not send them home. Let's do something different. So they decided to give them some penalties just for one day. No pool time. No more games that day. And they were sentenced to hard labor. They had to go out with the staff for a couple hours and help clean up parts of the camp, pick up trash and organize some things, and get things ready for the campers to have fun with. They did all this, saw their friends playing, pretty upset about it, and the next day their sentence was over. As camp director, he let mercy and compassion shape his final judgment. But even with that, as we saw, there were some consequences. They had all this stuff they had to do, these penalties. And the day after the punishment, their sentence was lifted, and all was well. They had full privileges again. They had pool time. They had game time. They hung out with their friends, just like nothing ever happened. They had these joys on their faces, the camp director wrote. This joy. It was obvious. They were so happy to get back into the camp community, back with their friends. They were smiling, couldn't wait. Well, this is sort of like our Old Testament reading today. Except it's a little different. It wasn't just camp rules, but the laws of God the Hebrews were going against. Their spiritual leaders, their concern for holiness and worship, their love for the poor, respect for God's laws, you name it, and they were breaking it. They were manning it. It was all gone. So Zephaniah was a prophet at this time. He was sent by God to call the nation out on their trespasses, just like every prophet we see in the Old Testament. Same trend, almost. So he called them out and said, you're doing it wrong. You're going to get punished. You're going to get punished. Well, that happened. Went into captivity for a little while. Did the whole trend again. But after some time, we see God granting his mercy. And that's where our verses come in today. There's a song of joy in the air. And a call to do. Do something. Now this tiny word, do, it carries a lot of weight throughout the Bible and throughout our lives. It's this do. This do is a promise of assurance and comfort for the Hebrew people. A promise that it was going to be delivered. So he said, do not fear. Do not let your hands grow weary. Do not let your hands grow weak. Do, do, do. Now, a little off topic here, something I've realized over the past few weeks, I've been sort of thinking about how to throw it in. We read the prophets, we read the birth of Jesus, we read this at Christmas time, and it's about Jesus' birth. It's amazing. It's awesome. Happened over 2,000 years ago, though. It's like looking at history, almost. The prophets, they prophesied it and it came true, but I think there's a little more to it, a little more, a different way to read it, almost. These lessons and prophecies are pointing towards our hope in a future as well. A hope of a second coming of the Son of Man. Jesus, he's coming to save us as well as he did the Hebrews. As well as the prophets prophesied, there's a Messiah coming to save you and take you out of all your troubles. The prophets are also saying that to us today. The birth story, the lessons in it, maybe not the birth itself, but the lessons behind it, is a prophecy for us as well. Just like he came to help the hungry, the poor, the oppressed, the falsely accused, he's coming to help us again. He helps us today and every day. He's coming to a world just like the Hebrews. It's full of corruption, failed leadership, captivity under oppressive powers, inequalities, injustices, you name it, it's here. And it's severely affecting the most vulnerable members of our covenant community. Our community with God, under the kingdom of God. All around the world, people are getting taken advantage of, everywhere. Especially the Christian community. I don't know if you guys keep up with it on the news, but you see missionaries, they live their lives in constant fear. Constant fear for their well-being. Just by speaking about their beliefs, saying, I believe in Jesus. And a fear for their well-being. By sharing this good news, it's scary. That's the world Christ was being born into and being born into again. You know, at that time, the Hebrews, they had conquered again and again and again. Different times, some of the leaders, Romans for example, would let them practice their faith under restrictions. But some of them said, no, talk about it, you're going to go in prison. You're going to be punished. That's not the way we believe. So it's like he's born into that. He's coming back to us again today, back into this world. Now, it's a little sidebar. I know today is about joy. We're getting excited. Christmas is coming. The birth is coming. And I'm saying these terrible things. But today, it's a day of joy. It really is. Because here we see John the Baptist, and Zephaniah, our prophet. They're coming out and they're speaking about this new coming, this new change. Something new is happening. This fulfillment of the promises of God throughout the ages. Throughout the ages coming to them, throughout the ages coming towards us. This joyful divine promise as music to their ears, just as it is ours. Just like these songs we're singing. All about this divine promise coming to be fulfilled. This promise of a new earth, a new Jerusalem, where we'll live with God in all of his glory. The kingdom of God on earth and the kingdom of God in heaven. This place is without need for anything except more of God. That's your only concern. How can I get more of God? That's how we should live today. In the gospel, we see Jesus is the reason for the season. He is the one who releases us from everything in the world, all the worries, all the stresses. It makes us a very important part of the movement of the Holy Spirit here on earth. We're called to do the works of God here, to do something, anything, to help spread the kingdom of God on earth, to prepare the way for our Lord, to prepare the land for the coming of his kingdom, and to do God's will today and every day. You sort of see the past few sermons coming together. To do, prepare, get ready. And that is reason enough, for me especially, I don't know about you, to be joyful. Be excited about this promise. Be so excited you're going to do something. Do something for a change. To bring the kingdom of God on earth and help him fulfill the promise. He doesn't need our help, but it's nice. So that's why I'm happy. If you'll pray with me. Lord, again, thank you for this beautiful day you've given us. This day to get excited about you, to praise you, and to do something, anything at all, to spread the good news for all to hear, to prepare for your birth for any way we can, to prepare our land, prepare our hearts, prepare our family and friends for this birth that was promised, fulfilled, and fulfilled in us every day. And Lord, give us the strength and the wisdom and the courage to do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.